Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word. It is a beautiful Friday here, and I'm excited to be with you today. You know, it's been an interesting week this week, and I think we're living in a world where Christianity is under attack. Christians, even from other so-called Christians, are being attacked for taking a stand for absolutes in their lives. And so I had some things happen this week that were really a little bit startling to me, in that even talking with people that believe they're Christians, say they're Christians, they're in church every time the door is open, but we are living in a world that is selling us a bill of goods and is sending a message that certain things are okay that are not okay. And I believe what's happening, and I believe the enemy is so subtle, is that he literally infiltrates little by little. You know, he never comes in with a frontal assault and just says, hello, here I am, I'm the devil, and I'm getting ready to tempt you, and I'm getting ready to take you off track. Everything he does is so subtle and so a little by little that it inches up on us, and oftentimes it takes us over without us even realizing. And, you know, more and more you hear and you see posts on Facebook, you hear in the media that Christians are being attacked for having absolute values, absolute beliefs, black and white. Everything in the world we live in is about the gray area. Everything is about, you know, being politically correct. And, you know, Jesus came and brought a message of love and of hope to all humanity. But he also came and brought a message. When you read the words of Jesus, and if you have a Bible, that the words of Jesus are in red. I'll never forget the moment when it hit me that Jesus was tough. Jesus always shot straight with people. He always spoke truth. He spoke the truth in love, but he spoke truth. And he spoke sometimes a harsh reality that said, we have got to set ourselves up for a higher standard. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about several things. First of all, I want to read a scripture to you. It's 1 Peter 1:15-16, and it says, but the one who has called you is holy. You yourselves are also to be holy in your conduct and in your manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So just this week, I was literally attacked because I was taking a stand on holiness, on a very important topic. And I began to ponder on that, and I thought, Lord, you know, everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to have friends. And I, with my personality type, if you have type A personality, you really want people to like you. You know, that can actually lead to sin. If we care more about someone liking us and thinking we're okay, then we care about speaking the truth in love to people. And so that's one of the things that Coffee of the Word is all about. You know, I teach myself as I'm teaching these. I speak to myself. I'm learning. God is working on me. And just because you make a commitment to holiness doesn't mean you don't slip up. It doesn't mean you don't fall and fail. It doesn't mean you're holier than thou. It does mean that we've got to have absolutes in our lives. We've got to have lines we will not cross. We've got to be set apart. We've got to be different, and yet we have got to be relatable so that our light can shine. But being relatable does not mean that you act like the rest of the world. It doesn't mean that everything is okay, and that, you know, I think a lot of people live under the grace and more grace. Well, absolutely, we are so thankful for the grace and mercy of God. What would we do without it? We would be lost. But sometimes I think we live under such a grace mentality that we forget about the absolute call of God to press on, to press in, and to press toward a mark. And so we want to look at Philippians 3:14 as our second foundational scripture for this morning. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want us to focus on the word press. When we talk about pressing into God, pressing on, it is so important to realize that absolutely there is the grace and mercy of God. But as Christians, we have to be actively involved in pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. It's easy to act like the rest of the world. It's easy to follow the same path that the enemy is so cleverly laying for each and every one of us, because he wants to trip us up in subtle ways. But it's so important that we have a balance between these extremes. You know, one area where there's a need for balance, and this is a real struggle in my life, is between striving and allowing God to act in our lives. And there has to be a balance in that. In much of our Christian life, we work and God works at the same time. There are times when we can strive too hard and we make it about us. And if you've been on Wednesday nights at National Park for the Circle Maker, you've heard me say over and over again, and as Mark Batterson says it in the book, you work like it depends on you, but you pray and believe like it depends on God. So there has to be that balance of knowing that whatever we do, however we do it, it is God all the while that is at work within us. So I want to take a look at that today. We're going to actually do this in several parts, because this is a message. I have literally, I think, 15 pages of notes on this. But there is a side to this scripture that says that we need to put forth strenuous effort. And I want to give you actual definition. When he says, make every effort, press, what does that word press mean? Well, it means to strain. It means to struggle. It means to pursue. It means to run with diligence the race that is set before you. It means to fight the good fight, to wage war, to persist, to resist, to stand, to take hold, to guard, and to endure to the end. So I want to talk to you about this today, this pressing toward the mark. We have to do this as an act of our will. It is not going to come easily. You can't press toward the mark of the high calling if you're coasting. And the only time we ever coast is when we're going downhill. I don't know about you, but I want to go up. I certainly don't want to go back in my walk with God. So let's take a look. First of all, in Matthew 11:12, Jesus declared that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. It also talks about this in Luke 16:16. So we know that, first of all, the kingdom of God has been advancing forcefully. But our job now is to move forward, and it says forceful men, and I would have to add women, lay hold of it. So what does it mean to lay hold of it? Well, first of all, it says the violent take it by force. So what does it mean to be violent? Well, it means you've got to be almost radical about this. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you, sin crouches at the door and knocks. It creeps in subtly. So, number one, we've got to be alert. We've got to be aware. We've got to, when we find ourselves in the middle of something we know is not right, we've got to say as an act of our will, stop. No, I was talking to someone this morning about, you know, God says he'll make a way of escape for us. We're not helpless. We're not hopeless. We're not just tools of the enemy that's whatever he wants to do with us. We have weapons of warfare that are powerful. They're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds in our lives. And all of us battle with strongholds in our lives. All of us have issues and situations that if not actively pressing in and pursuing will take over our lives. So really that's what we're going to talk about now, is about pressing in. I have some friends right now that are battling with some diagnosis, some health issues. And one of the way things we have to press in and take hold of is our healing. You know, God says that by his stripes we were healed at the cross of Calvary. He doesn't say you'll be healed in the future. He doesn't say he might heal us. He doesn't say that he'll heal us if he feels like it. But we have to claim it, take hold of it, speak healing, wholeness, and restoration over our lives. You've heard me talk about this before, that being diagnosed when I was very young, being told I would be on Meals on Wheels, and chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis. They thought I had lupus. They thought I had I can't even tell you the number of diseases that were spoken over me. But over the years, I made a decision to speak God's word over my life. Does it mean you never had any symptoms? No, sometimes they still try to come on me. But it's a matter of speaking the word. It's a matter of knowing that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ himself. And blind Bartimaeus, I love this story. Jesus was passing by. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And what did Jesus do? Jesus stopped. Because blind Bartimaeus was yelling at the top of his lungs to get the attention of Jesus. His faith was so strong in the fact that Jesus had the ability to give him back his sight. Jesus stopped and called to him, and it says he received his sight, and then Jesus commended him, saying, "Your faith has healed you." But here's the key, guys. It wasn't just enough to have the faith. Bartimaeus wanted this one thing with all of his heart. He wanted to see. He let nothing stop him. And the word says many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. May I tell you that many will rebuke you when you start standing on the word of God for anything. I was rebuked this week for standing on the word of God. But I got to tell you, even though it didn't feel good and it hurt my heart, I knew that I knew that I knew that I did what God had asked me to do. We have to be willing to be unpopular. We have to be willing to take a risk that people will not like us. We have to be willing to be vocal and say, "I am believing the report of the Lord, and the report of the Lord says that I am healed." And when many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, what did he do? I love this guy. I love this guy. If he was alive today, he and I would be friends. It says that blind Bartimaeus shouted all the more. Matthew 20:31 says, "Shouted all the louder." We don't know how long he shouted. It could have been for a long period of time. But he would not be kept from Jesus. He would not be kept from his healing. And when Jesus commended his faith, I believe Jesus was saying that he had shown his faith by his persistence in the face of obstacles. You see, here's the key, guys. Just because we're standing in faith for something, just because we are believing God, just because we are speaking the word of God over our situation, doesn't mean that it's going to turn quickly. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a manifestation of a change of your situation quickly. There is something, there is a blessedness in the waiting, in the persistence, in that relationship that you and I are building with Jesus Christ himself. A relationship that we're building as we believe for our healing. The relationship that we're building as we're believing God to turn our circumstances. It's that relationship that he wants. It's so much more about the relationship than it is about anything that we desire to receive. And I think when we get this, it changes everything in our lives. And we know that faith is important to God, but we know more than that. That relationship that you have with your Creator and with Jesus Christ coming to live and dwell on the inside of you while you wait for your manifestation of change, while you wait for whatever it is you're believing God for, you are building a deep, long, and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to persist. The woman with the issue of blood. On another occasion, Jesus was walking, and a huge crowd is following and pressing in around him. And then it says, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, pressed in. Get that word, guys. She pressed in. She's in this massive crowd. She touches his cloak, and she's immediately healed. Now, this is what I find fascinating. This huge crowd is around Jesus. Have you ever been in a massive crowd where you're being pressed in from every side? How did he know that that woman had touched him? How did he know that she had touched him? I believe it's because he felt immediately her faith, and he felt that healing virtue leave his body. Her faith, somehow the way she was pressing in was different than the way the rest of the crowd was pressing Jesus. It was through her faith 12 years this woman had bled. 12 years, and yet she saw Jesus, and she knew that he was the answer. And he simply said to her once again, in Mark 5, 24 through 34, you can find this entire story, he says, your faith has healed you. She persisted in the face of obstacles. You and I are going to have to persist in the face of obstacles. We're going to have to persist in times when we fail and mess up. We're going to have to pick ourselves up and ask God to forgive us, and we have to repent. We simply have to keep going. Women were not supposed to press in through a crowd of men in those days. She was literally risking her life for her healing. She was actually ceremonially unclean. It was unlawful for her to touch anyone who was clean. And she, can you imagine how weak she must have been after 12 years of illness involving a loss of blood? And don't you know that she had to be afraid? She had to be afraid. She knew that she could be put to death for this, and yet she pressed in and she pressed on. Her urgent need motivated her to overcome all of these obstacles. What is your urgent need that motivates you today? Whatever obstacle you're facing, what is your urgent need that motivates you to overcome your obstacles, receive your healing? Receive your manifestation. I believe it's because we press in despite heavy obstacles, keeping our faith strong. This is the key, guys. This is the key. The Word of God says the violent take it by force. We have to be actively participating in our healing by speaking the Word. We have to be actively participating in our healing by rebuking the enemy, that when he comes in like a flood, he cannot defeat us as long as we are aware that it is the enemy, and we know that we combat him by speaking the Word of God. The second way that we press into God is we pray. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. In Luke 18:1, the parable was that of the widow who kept insisting that the unjust judge give her her justice. She drove this judge crazy. And do you know he was not a godly judge? In fact, it says he didn't care anything about this woman. But because of her persistence, he finally gave her what she wanted. Luke 18:7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? So my question, my friends, is are we crying out to him day and night? Or are we simply praying a prayer when we don't see any manifestation of change? We feel like God didn't hear us. We feel like God's not actively involved. Maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we're not important enough. Maybe we've made too many mistakes. And we think my prayers don't even hit the ceiling. Guys, this simply says that God honors persistent faith. He honors persistent. And I love this next one, Luke 11:8. He talks about another parable about a man who needed bread to give to a visitor. He goes and knocks on his neighbor's door at midnight. Now, I'll tell you something, that's audacity. That takes a lot of guts to go knock on a guy's door at midnight asking for bread. The man told him to go away. He didn't want to open the door, but he kept on knocking. He kept on seeking. And the Greek verb means continual action, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. And I love this. This word means, listen to this, importunity, which means with reckless abandon or shamelessness. Are we willing to knock with reckless abandonment and shamelessness to ask God over and over again? Someone told me recently that they thought it was a lack of faith to keep asking God and to keep praying the same prayer over and over again. But that's not what my word says. The Word of God that I study says that God says it's an active, continual seeking, an active, continual knocking, an active, continual pressing in and pursuing God. Then Jesus went on to say, so I say to you, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. What does that say? It says for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. So as we continue to ask, as we continue to seek, we continue to knock, it seems clear in context that Jesus is saying, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. My timing is perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So today, if you're feeling weak in your flesh, if you're feeling weak right now, Jesus is saying to you, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Persist. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Without me and apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in the vine, and he's going to give us that life. I think about a vine, and I think about everything that plant needs is coming from that vine. That is our source. Jesus is your source. So if you're trying to do it in your own strength and you're trying to do it in your own ability, you're going to fail, and I'm going to fail and fall. But, guys, we've got to press in. We've got to press on. And he said, to those who seek God with all their heart, they will surely find him. Jeremiah 29:13. It's the fervent prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much. James 5:16. And Paul says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Get that. You realize that when you pray with all your heart and you seek God with all your heart, he says, you're going to find me. And it's the fervent, persistent, reckless, shameless prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much. And when we do that, the Spirit of God himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Romans 8:26, Jesus says, it is right and sometimes necessary to cry out to God day and night. All of these passages suggest there needs to be an intensity and a fervency in our prayers. There needs to be a passion. There needs to be a persistence. So on Monday, we are going to continue this study on pressing into God. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about blessing. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about being holy. And there's nothing wrong with that. God says in this world of unholiness, he is looking for the people of God to be holy, not holier than thou, but holy. It's okay to call people to holiness. It's okay to have absolutes and lines you will not cross and things you will not do. And we are going to pursue this, guys. These next few coffee in the words, I feel this so strongly in my spirit, because it's where I'm at right now in my own life. And so when we gather together on Monday, we're going to talk about worship. And I want to just leave you with this thought, because you are going to worship this weekend. And unfortunately, many of us wait until we go to church to worship. And then quite frankly, our worship falls flat, because worship should be an active part of our everyday life. Our everyday lives, every day we're worshiping God. In my home, music is on. In my home, we start every day praising God and worshiping him. The house full of music. And there's a word, G-U-W-L, in the Greek. It says, God rejoices over us 192 times. And that word means to spin, to twirl, to dance around, to jump, to shout, and to sing aloud. So as we end Coffee in the Word today, I want to challenge you. Hang up from this call and go and rejoice, spin, quarrel, dance around, shout, sing aloud. This is the heart of God and the heart of God for us as we worship him today in spirit and in truth. Lord God, today we press into you and we press on toward the high calling of Christ Jesus in our lives. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that gives us life, and it keeps us on that narrow path, Father, that leads to righteousness and holiness. So, Lord God, I just thank you that you are with us today. You are with us as we move forward into this day with power, with passion, and with purpose. And we live this life according to your perspective, Lord, not the traditions of this world, not the political correctness of what the world would say that we need to be, but God, in holiness, for you have called us to be holy and set apart. So, Lord, today we lay our lives at your feet afresh and anew, and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.